Hello, hello. Welcome to Pilled, where you can join the masses of crypto pilled degens. And if you're not one of them, well, just you wait. I'm your host, Anisha Sankarneni, and this is Pilled. Hello, Jess. Thank you for coming on to Pilled today. How are you?
Hello, hello. I'm well. Thank you.
How's your year been so far? We're almost at the end of January.
Yeah, no comment.
Maybe that was the wrong question to start with.
It's been fun. It's been crazy. It's been a privilege, and it's already a month into the new year. Who knew? Wow.
That's not a canned response at all. Better question to start with might be to have you introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on. My name is Jess, and I'm a co-creator of Seed Club, which is a DAO that builds and invests in Web3 communities, tokenized communities, DAOs. We run an accelerator program that chooses around 20 amazing projects to work with each quarter and help them design and launch communities that put tokens to work. We're big believers that the people should be capturing the profit that they create on the internet, not platforms. And building over the last year and a half, a really outstanding group of contributors and projects. And as we sit here today on the 27th of January, about to choose our fourth cohort. And yeah, it's been wild and fun. And we're so excited about what 2022 will bring.
I'm so excited what Seed Club has in store for the next year. And I've worked with a number of the people, both as the companies that are being considered for the accelerator, as well as some of the members of the community. And you guys are building something really special. So I'm very excited to see what comes out of it in the coming quarters. I think it's crazy that you guys do 20 companies a quarter.
Yeah, I was thinking about this because it was a year ago that we launched on-chain in a Seed Club, which was set up initially as more of a private DAO. And there was about 65 members from our early founding group that were helping to bring the first versions of the accelerator to the world. And thinking about that very first batch, which had six or eight people in it that I'm pretty sure I just really begged, borrowed, and stole to get them in the first time. And then how fast that sort of exploded into, you know, our last batch having 220 or so applicants and us working with up to 20 projects. I think we'll see where the ultimate number nets out. But yeah, definitely the goal at Seed Club isn't to help launch a million projects. It's to really work with the ones that we see the most opportunity in and potential in, and with teams that we think have huge opportunities to take what they have as their initial idea and evolve it into some big, meaningful, long-lasting project in the space. I think we're constantly exploring what is the right number, what is the right way to deliver value for these folks. We're, as I said, a year and a half in and have a lot of lessons learned, and also I think have a long way to go to reach really what our team and our community is trying to achieve.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a constant evolution, and so much has happened over the last year and a half, and I'm excited to dig more into that. I always like what brought them into this space, what got them initially into crypto, what got you crypto-pilled, so to speak.
Yeah. So I remember watching a YouTube video in 2016 about this idea of autonomous network of self-driving cars owning other self-driving cars. And they were talking about this thing called a DAO. And I was like, oh, that's cool. What got me to buy my first Ethereum was to try to get into the DAO. Luckily, I'm not technically capable enough to figure that out in 2016. And so I didn't get into the DAO and was saved the subsequent sort of losing of my ETH. But I think overall, I have always been fascinated with the shift of, that I think is very relevant to, you know, our generations, which is that we're moving away from the firm being the entity or the structure that coordinates economic activity to the network being that thing. And I saw, was early into social media and saw that happen from a media and distribution standpoint. And then when I heard of these ideas of DAOs, it blew my brain. But I didn't really formally start working in the crypto space until early 2017, where a friend sent me a message being like, have you heard of tokens? And tokens to me were all of a sudden this new structure that would allow individuals to have, you know, an ownership-like stake in the networks that they are contributing to and participating in. And I thought that was completely revolutionary, and I've been working, you know, in and around the crypto space full time since early 2017.
It's always wild to me to hear what people's first seed in their brain was for crypto, and whether that came from a YouTube video or a friend of a friend, or I think I heard recently that she started flipping NFTs because she was being underpaid in an internship she was at, and how quickly that just like evolves and snowballs, and people are doing so many amazing things in the space right now. I love hearing their origin stories into crypto. All that being said, I would love to dig more into what you guys have been building at Seed Club, and even start at the, like, what is the origin story of Seed Club, and how has it at a high level kind of evolved to what it looks like today? And maybe we can then walk it back and go into some of the specifics.
Yeah, so Seed Club started in the summer of 2020, and there's a few friends and people I knew from the space had launched social tokens. And so it's Brian Flynn and Alex Masmej and June and Ruben Brown Nathan and a bunch of others. And it was interesting, like there's these three tools that kind of unlock this whole new world as far as I was concerned. The ability to easily mint a token through something Roll, the ability to have a market for any token through Uniswap or another AMM, and then Collabland token gated access. Like those three things combined really allowed for people to have this sense of ownership in communities or yet these digital networks that I think we refer to as communities. And so I was like, oh, that's super interesting. These are all smart people. Started chatting with them and realized that people had a lot of questions. We didn't really know where it was going to go. It was still super early. How do you actually create value here? So we created a Telegram group basically to bring those folks together. And I think really quickly we started to see that this was going to be a thing, and we didn't really know what that thing was. And there was always more questions than there were answers. And so the way to learn fastest was to dive in and work really closely with people who are trying to explore their own use cases and experiments. We did an early hackathon that brought some people together. And then we ran our first accelerator cohort in the end of 2020 with folks RAC and Connie Digital and Alex Masmej and Carlos from Forefront. He was doing something called Swag back in the day, and some folks from Gitcoin and a bunch of others, and really gave us high conviction that there was something interesting there and that kickstarted this momentum towards learning and figuring out how to unlock this value. And then as we came into early 2021, the market started really heating up, and we started to see some really great successes from teams like the Whale community and Friends with Benefits. And I think it gave a wider platform for folks that were experimenting in this culture, community, social capital, using tokens to empower and enable some interesting dynamics there. And we've managed to continue to lean into that desire to learn faster together, to bring great people and great projects together, and went crazy from there. It's been a wild 16 months, 18 months, whatever we're at right now.
Yeah, time doesn't feel real anymore. And I think it's funny when we look back in early 2020, like, oh my God, so long ago, eons ago. And even if I think back to early 2021, which is when I started getting more involved with crypto and started being like, what's a DAO? Friends with Benefits, Seed Club, what's this? My friends are doing this. And it feels like a lifetime ago. 6 months feels like a lifetime ago. And I just, it's both exhausting in times to try to keep up with everything, but it's so amazing to look back on and see everything that has happened, both from a micro scale, even people in my network who've jumped into the space or who've done more and built things in the space, to at a greater level, DAOs or companies and new explosions of innovation that have happened over a relatively short period of time. So that's really exciting. I think one thing that you'd mentioned to me previously was just thinking about how DAOs, and specifically social DAOs, can be thought of as a new structure of a startup and what that means and how you think about that. I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, I think early on, we're talking about social tokens, and the category of social tokens would include personal tokens and creator coins or celebrity tokens or brand tokens or sports team tokens. There's a wide number of types of experiments and opportunities to I think use tokens to create value. We saw a pretty big distinction between those type of tokens and I think ultimately community tokens or DAOs. And really where we started to see the bigger opportunity, especially for long-term opportunity, was where tokens were being used to help incentivize a group of people to go create something bigger than what they could create themselves or than the group as it is today. So I think there's some folks who might look at social tokens generally, or even DAOs, as more of the evolution of a membership site or Patreon, a new way to create new revenue for creators, which I think there are plenty of awesome tools and use cases for tokens to achieve that. I think where we started to see the bigger opportunity was in how groups of people were coming together to innovate, to build products, to create experiences, to create something that's bigger than themselves. And so I think we view communities that we back in DAOs is the evolution of a startup. It's a new way of, instead of starting with an idea and then forming a company and then building a product and then building community around that product to help you go to market, et cetera. I think DAOs flip that on their head. They say, let's start with community that will probably have many ideas and will probably build many types of products or experiences. And now that these communities have the tools that only companies had in the past, which is the ability to enter into agreements, the ability to have a shared bank account, form capital, that new starting point is probably going to result in a bunch of really interesting new types of organizations. And I think you see the early stages of this across the ecosystem, where if you look at FWB as like, okay, maybe it's you're buying access to a Discord, but really you're now a member of a DAO that's running local chapters and events, and it's probably going to own a restaurant at some point and is developing new NFT tools. And you start to see the power that comes from smart people coming together with capital and resources that they can put to work. And that is happening across the board, whether you look at Gitcoin or you look at Forefront or you look at C Club or you look at Cabin DAO or you look at Krause House or Pool Suite, or it's just these organizations are going to, or many of them are going to break out beyond the social value and really start to create value in the way that I think we would see most startups creating value. And I think, you know, when we game that out over a number of years, the, you know, economic and cultural impact that they're going to have is going to rival that of any of the largest brands and companies that exist in our world today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been really interesting to see these social DAOs evolve over time and create their own culture and have this really strong sense of community for its members. This is extended to in real life events and in real life communities as well. So we're seeing that this transcends the online world or Discord or group chat that originates on Telegram. And many of them are collaborating in very real ways and creating tangible products. So they're definitely going beyond simply being a social club. You might think you join a club in high school or something. They've been able to produce in a much more tangible way, both on like the cultural front as well as creating items or products or experiences real value. So exciting to see more of that and the continued growth of the ones that exist today. I guess a question that I'm personally curious about as someone who's been on the ground and built from the ground up, what is a social DAO and what is it not? If you were to define what a social DAO is in your head, and then maybe common misconceptions of what it is, and you're, this is not what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I struggle with what the right term to use to capture this idea of community first building rather than technology first building. I don't think social DAO is it, and I don't think DAO alone is it either. So I think we're still looking for that language to emerge and settle. It's probably somewhere in there. So I don't know how helpful it is to try to define what a social DAO is today, because I think both that term DAO and the social designators, it's going to emerge, it's going to shift so much. Right. Yeah. I think what's interesting is that there, when you zoom out, there are, for the longest time, there was one way to go build a potentially valuable organization, and that was to find a technology advantage and press it. And I think right now we have another potential option, which is community could be an advantage that can be put to work to build a valuable organization. And that's going to look like many, many different things. And, you know, I think if you imagine these organizations as being these being the first digitally native organizations that are structured in a way that really makes it easy for anybody in the world to participate. Maybe we use air quotes around easy because I think there's still some challenges there for sure. But anybody in the world to participate, to earn a say in these things, to earn revenue or income, you can see this being applied to pretty much every category in some way. And much like startups or companies, the execution and structure and compensation models and all these sort of things start to need to be shaped around the goal that you're trying to achieve. So, you know, what we're doing at C Club and what it looks like onboard with C Club or do work or be successful here is very different than what it would look to be successful in a Gitcoin or in a Friends with Benefits. And right. And so we have to design these organizations not as monolithic or templates that we can apply across the board, but rather thinking like, what are the goals that we're trying to achieve and how do we structure and define language and stories around that help us achieve those?
Absolutely. I think that onboarding is something that I've thought a lot about, and you're 100% right that what onboarding looks like from DAO to DAO and organization to organization, much like it looks very different from company to company, is going to be specific to that organization or company's or community's needs. And I'm curious how you guys have thought about onboarding Seed Club and what that looks like. And I imagine that might look very different today than it may have 6 months or a year ago as well.
Yeah, I think when we started, onboarding was folks being referred in and conversations happening and people being added to a Telegram group and their insights being pulled on to help support our projects and the growth of our organization. And C Club was, again, a privately held. You couldn't go purchase or transfer tokens. There's no way to become a member of C Club other than being onboarded through the DAO itself. That's changed recently as the club token was distributed to early contributors at the beginning of this year. And now we're really in the process of expanding that contributor group. And I think that what's interesting for Seed Club is the core community we serve isn't a broad community. It's the projects that we're working with. So founders of projects that are through our accelerator are the folks that we are the most focused on delivering value for. And if you're in an early stage project, what isn't helpful is 1,000 people who reach out and want to be helpful. What is helpful is talking to the right 3 people that are going to help you achieve that next level of momentum or success. And so I think we've been very curated in how we bring people together in service of our projects. And we call those folks collaborators. They are the folks that have come through and have either applied or been vetted or have been referred in and are given an opportunity to work really closely with our early stage projects and to earn club tokens for doing that work. And so what we're working on right now is getting better at doing that matching between projects and collaborators and being more effective at bringing great people into that collaborator group as our network grows and as the demand for more talent is going to grow as well. We also have a number of working groups that are in various stages of being spun up that are really trying to say, hey, there are ways that our broader community can create an exceptional amount of value for our teams and for C Club itself. And so these working groups are the method for us to focus that effort and manage and reward that effort. So you imagine in a traditional venture fund, you might have a talent partner or a growth partner. Well, we think we can bring sub DAOs together that can be even more effective at supporting our teams and the growth of C Club in those specialized areas. We also know that creating value for our alumni over the life of their project and beyond is going to be super high value. And so we have a working group that's focused on that. For us, it's important that most of our working groups are done by application. And there isn't, again, a big value in us having 1,000 people leaning into these projects in some of them. And there's still this sense of people coming in and finding their place in these working groups. But we do have some broader groups. And I think what we're most excited about is thinking through as people come in and become more aware of how they can create value in C Club, making sure that we have a pathway for new working groups or new contributors or proposals to emerge and to lean in and create that value. So we're in this middle zone of things being stood up and resourced based on needs we know that have emerged from our community already of founders, and also ensuring that we're creating a pathway for folks who have great ideas and desire to support, to find a home and bringing that talent to C Club.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking of it almost as someone who maybe wants to join Seed Club and doesn't know where to start. And obviously, maybe they can jump into the Discord and kind of start finding their way around. If we were to put someone as an example and say, hey, we have this person who wants to join Seed Club, and there are these different avenues in which they may be able to actionably join and collaborate. And maybe one of those is if they are building a project that they see being aligned with what could be in the Seed Club Accelerator, they might apply to be a part of the Seed Club Accelerator. Another might be to apply to be a collaborator and be able to assist those projects over time. And it sounds like there might also be an opportunity to be a part of a working group. I don't know if that's separate from being a collaborator, but does that sound pretty on par with what you were explaining?
Yeah, 100%. I think that the clearest path today is if you are leading a project or starting a project, applying to the accelerator is a very well-worn, clear path for us to bring in new folks. I think the collaborator group is one that is still mostly being filled by folks who are getting referrals or introduced to us or who have come from our past projects. And I think we're excited to open that up more as we start to see our community contributing more through other means. But the direct paths right now are to join the Discord and to join our regular Vibe Squad calls, which is a great place to get your feet wet, to apply to one of our working groups if you have some talent and time that you can lean into to some of those areas. And those are emerging over the next few weeks and months as we start to roll more of those out. And I think we recognize that because our focus has been so much on delivering value for our early accelerator projects, we have purposely given the fact that there's a limited amount of heartbeats and breaths in a day, focused on delivering value there. And there's a lot of opportunity for us to create pathways for people to contribute. And so we're really excited about a team that's been formed to go tackle that challenge specifically. We think there's some really interesting educational opportunities that we can provide. We really love doing events and live streams and all these things that I think can be useful to help people both feel more comfortable at leaning in and contributing, but also in finding places to contribute. And so I think we're just really excited to show how much of a shift C Club is going to make over the next couple quarters and really leaning into this incredible, you know, audience and membership base that we have. But for folks who join C Club today, there's a really lightweight application form that you need to fill out before you get access to the full breadth of our Discord server. And that's a great way for us to ensure that we have a point of contact and an understanding of the talent and the skills that exist in our community, so we can be more proactive in pulling some folks together. So as we roll out jobs or new working groups or opportunities to participate, those folks get notified through email or through our announcements channels. And the wonderful thing about DAOs is, as long as we continue to increase the surface area of opportunity, that's going to match people with where they are in their, you know, time and place in life. And I think we're going to be able to get in some really talented contributors and unique contributors. And, you know, I think that we have folks that are contributing from Peru and from Asia and all over the world. And I think it's quite exceptional to see what our organization is going to look in 6 months.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. I think going about onboarding that way makes a lot of sense. And I'm excited to see what gets rolled out, since I know a lot of the DAOs, when they're very early, onboarding is something that is hard to allocate time for at times, especially as you have an initial core team and you only have so much bandwidth and you're trying to go in 10 different directions at once. But I'm glad that you guys really have infrastructure in place to roll that out.
Yeah, I think the way that we're doing it isn't the way that everybody should do it. And I think so people want to have a good breadth of examples to explore. I think, you know, what the team at Bankless DAO has done is gone very wide and ground up and created a ton of possibilities for people to lead and for emergent ideas to get funded and resourced and roll out. And I think that's a really exciting process. And we've seen, you know, that through Team Shark DAO as well, which I think have done, you know, an exceptional job at creating excitement and saying, wherever you want to lean in, let's go lean in there. And then we'll figure out how to make that cohesive further down the line. I was talking to the guys from Krauss House yesterday, and they've expressed a bunch of, I guess, created a lot of value in being very purposeful in matching a few people to come together to form the nexus of a working group and giving them a lot of space to go and run and to sink or swim from that. But that the core being, they take a much more active role in saying, I think you and you together working on this thing would be really great. And so I think that's a really interesting way of onboarding. And more generally, they onboard people through these sort of batches. I think they call them draft seasons. That's maybe not quite right, but that you're coming into a community with a micro community already. So you're not dropped in the mix of thousands of people, but you're one of 10. And so I think there's a lot of experimentation to be done there, but that, and we always say that we think we're generally in the case studies, not templates phase of DAOs. You can't take a template from somebody else and be like, this is going to work, but we can start to learn a lot from how these other projects are trying to solve that problem.
100%. I totally subscribe to that. I think to add to that point, I wholly believe that onboarding and looks very different because every community is different. Every DAO's purpose and goal and vision is different. And therefore, also onboarding people into different roles and how they start propping up those structures for their end goal is going to look different, as it should. So I really like the case studies, not template modality. And another thing I would add to that is the example I gave earlier as someone who might want to join Seed Club, like what are the different paths that they can join? I think something that might be important or useful for someone who's, hey, I want to dive into DAOs or I want to go join a DAO, but doesn't have too much more context other than wanting to go join a club or wanting to go join a DAO, is also considering what would work for them, right? How much time do they have? How much bandwidth do they have? Do they want to join a social DAO? Do they want to join a DAO that's focused on a particular purpose? And then even diving a little bit further into that, if they want to come on in a form of a collaborator or contributor type of role, what does that look like for them? The Krauss House example that you gave, if they were to go be selected to prop up a working group and work towards a certain vision there, that both allows someone to have a great deal of autonomy, but also gives them a lot of they have to go figure it out. And you're right, sink or swim. But in other instances, if you're, hey, I want to work on this specific task with a specific bounty for a very targeted short period of time, and this is what I'm given, this is what I'm going to put out, and that's something that works better for me because I would still contribute, but that's the fashion in which I want to do it, then you might want to go join a community in DAO that has those structures in place, because that might be more aligned for you. So I think it's both a mix of the DAOs themselves figuring out different things that work for their community. But as someone who may go and join something, I think that's something that's also your responsibility to keep in mind for yourself.
I think the reality is the most successful contributors and people who are leaning into DAOs have taken it upon themselves to take responsibility to figure out how they can contribute. And I think that's obviously the idea of reducing friction and making it easier and more clear. I think that most DAOs are working towards that in some way, and we can get better at it. And also, what is, I guess, most valuable for folks who are in DAOs is to, if you're sort of in a leadership role, or if you're being focused on owning the idea of how do you bring in more people, you really value somebody who can come to the table and say, hey, I see this as a problem. I think this is a solution, and I'm going to go take responsibility to go do it. And doing one cycle of that is the fastest way to stand out to a DAO generally than any amount of messaging, any amount of application. The scarce resource in the space generally is people willing to identify challenge and take responsibility.
Absolutely. If you were to give someone that was getting their feet wet in a DAO a piece of advice, I guess it sounds like maybe they should take on responsibility and find their way out. Yeah, what advice would you give someone that's, let's say, an early member in a social DAO that wants to integrate more?
Yeah, I realize how unhelpful it is to say go take responsibility, because there's obviously like a million steps maybe in front of that.
An example to that.
Yeah, I think so. An example to this is Pandy, who's now running community for Seed Club, came in and was, I think she reached out, or she was into one of her channels, and she basically said, this is who she is, this is what she's really interested in. And for whatever reason, that message stood out, either it was identifying a challenge that we had or a very thoughtful message that was really advancing a conversation. And I think from that, there was either an introduction made, and all of a sudden we're chatting and realized that she had this incredible wealth of skills and abilities that solved the challenge that we had right away. And I think she spent a lot of time trying to figure out the best way for her to provide value. And it came back to us with a number of different ideas around how she would want to contribute. And we were able to, through collaboration, find a way to bring her in and find a place for her to have a ton of impact. And she's, I think, really excelled at that. So I think truly the best advice I think that you get from any hiring manager across the board is, by far the best way to get into an organization is to have a warm introduction into that organization, and or to contribute in a way that gets sort of attention in a broader sense within the DAO. So whether you can, you know, network your way in, and I think the way that you continue to expand your network in Web3 generally is by engaging thoughtfully, asking great questions, finding answers, bringing your skills to bear in some way. And I don't think that needs to be taking on a huge initiative within an organization. It's very easy to stand out in a Discord if you're consistently showing up and asking thoughtful questions and being helpful. And it doesn't take too long to be in a Discord to be noticed. And then if you reach out or DM somebody like myself or any of our other members that are more core to Seed Club, you're going to get an answer because we've seen you around. And now all of a sudden you're in a discussion. And that's, I think, the best way to figure out how to find a more, you know, involved role in these organizations. So I don't think we're reinventing the way that people come into these organizations. They're still social at its core. There's still a limited amount of bandwidth to figure out how you can put people to work and the best solution and making judgments on who are going to be great contributors. But I do think the service area, again, of how people can discover and show up and create value, I think is much greater in DAOs. And I think in how we're approaching it as well, we're trying to really increase that so that there are many more touch points for people to show up and to be present and participate, et cetera. So I don't know if there's a nugget of insight in there other than go up and participate.
Yeah. I think I think what you shared is broadly applicable to communities at large. And if you want to show up and be a part of any organization, whether that's within a social DAO or a company, and you really resonate with them and identify with this group of people, and you're like, hey, I want to be a part of this and I want to be a valuable part of this and show up for the community at large. I think broadly speaking in Web3, showing up and showing, not telling, doing things, and people will take notice, whether that's you identifying a problem and then saying, hey, I know how to help with this problem, not just pointing out a problem, I'm going to do something about it. And then consistently being there and being a part of the community, talking to people, genuinely making friends. I think all of those little bits add up over time.
I think one part there is important to underline. There's, I think, for folks who are, you know, talented contributors in startups or other companies or in whatever career they're in already, and they want to come into Web3 or work in a DAO, we see the vast majority of people who are interested want to be consultants. And that the idea being, I can help support on strategy, or I can help you think through ideas, or be in this more idea discussion insight level, which is valuable without a doubt, but it's not as valuable as having those insights and helping them get executed. And so the things that we're most interested in, that, and the contributors that really stick with us, are folks who come in with, I know what needs to get done here, and I'm going to take responsibility to get it done. That doesn't necessarily mean they are the ones doing it, but they are ones who are rallying resources or other people or broader community to help get that done. And so if you're sitting here and maybe a more senior contributor in other organizations, hard to really find a place to stick within DAOs. I think owning more of that stack, the both the insight and sort of organization and strategy, and ensuring the execution gets done, to me, is across any of the areas that we know we have gaps in, if we're able to find somebody who can do that, it's such an amazing heck yes.
Yes, that's what stands out. No, I think you're 100% right. And it's something that I think is valuable for anyone that's in a leadership role or trying to juggle a lot of things, finding someone that can really take the ownership of something and you can trust to get it done, and they do that. That's incredibly valuable. So 100%, if you're trying to optimize for something, that should be it. Thank you so much for giving us some insight into Seed Club and your thoughts about DAOs and onboarding. I guess the last question I want to leave you with is, if you could pill the audience and me on anything that's not Web3 or crypto related, anything in the world, what would it be?
I think I am very fascinated with how we bring groups of people together to get on the same page and achieve something. And the work that I did previous to falling into crypto was always, and why I was so convicted on Seed Club, was that I knew if you can bring a small group of people together, get on the same page, incredible things would be created. This is maybe not as unrelated to what we're doing on a regular basis here, but I'm very fascinated with this whole amount of study, work, progress that's been made in self-management and strategic planning and ideation and design thinking, and the exceptional value that can be created by successfully bringing the thoughts of multiple different peoples together to go create something or solve something or make progress. So the depth of knowledge I have in the DAO space and all the stuff we're building through Seed Club is very much informed by, but I think there was an alternate life where I could see the path going, where it continues to be a consultant and running strategy sessions for, you know, fast growing companies. And if I was to pill anybody on anything, that's maybe the only other area in life and in my career that I could actually have the depth of knowledge that would make me confident in doing that.
Yeah, I think bringing good people, good brains together, all in the same room, and they're all trying to go build something together and brainstorm for something in the future together, is, I don't think there's anything you can really compare that to. Whenever people are even thinking about recruiting for roles and stuff, it's, yes, can you find 10 people to probably do this task or fit this job description? Yes, but who is the right person? And then if you can go bring in someone who's complementary to do something else, and you bring them and you put them in the same room, what can they create together? And I think having that be something you optimize for can really change the path of what you're doing.
Totally agree.
Thank you so much for coming on today. Really enjoyed talking to you. Where can the audience find you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Twitter's probably the best place. You can follow Seed Club at Seed Club HQ, or I am at That Tall Guy on the Twitter, and try to post useful things there. You can be the judge.
And how tall are you, Jess?
6'7", or I guess over 2 meters.
When you put it like that. Thank you so much again, and talk soon.
Thanks, Anisha.